Good morning. My name's Daphne Jeffrey. I'm working for the Whitley's Oral History Project, and I'm with Pam Martin. Pam, if you'd like to start with when and where you were born, that would be really helpful.
Well, my parents were living here in this house, but I was born at Lucy Baldwin's Maternity Hospital at Starport, which is no longer there.
And then what happened? You came back here?
Yes.
To this house?
Yes, I did. I went to Whitley School, mm-hmm. and so did Mum. Mum had been to Whitley School before me.
And your mum's name was?
Louise Hook.
Louise Hook.
And she lived at Struction's Heath. Snuffy Row, actually. She used to get very upset when it was called Struction's Heath and not Snuffy Row. In the house on the end of Donkey Lane. Then she came to school at Whitley.
But how would she have got from Snuffy Row up to school?
Well, she used to walk. They all did. I don't know how many more. Well, there were five of Mum's family who came to Whitley School. You see, we went to Whitley School 5 till about 13 or 14. I didn't go that long. I was in a dreadful road accident, and I haven't been to school since I was 9. I've had lessons, but I haven't been to school. I was knocked down by a drunken man just over the road there. He'd come out of the 100 house and got in his van, actually, and came down the road, and that was that. But I was badly hurt. My knee, my right side was all broken, my ankle, my knee, my hip, my jaw, my eye socket, you see. You remember the old radiators were like honeycombs, and that was all in my face. It was burnt. I had a lot of surgery, and I was unconscious 6 weeks, so it's really ongoing because, you see, all my teeth were all knocked out. Of course, I hadn't got all my second teeth, but then they came through in the wrong places, so they were taken out. I had a lot of work done on the roof of my mouth, but I'm all right.
To get back to what you were telling us, you had lessons.
Here, yes.
Yes. Who came to teach you?
A Mrs. Price. She used to come. But you see, the problem was my head had been, still is, injured. And if I tried to concentrate for too long, I used to lose consciousness. So she would come some days and not be able to do any teaching. That's why I never went back to school. It used to disrupt the class, you see.
But you obviously learnt here. And then what happened after that?
Well, I was about 18 when I started to live a sensible life. I worked with Dad on the ground a bit, you know, on the days that I was well enough to. Dad was working over at the rectory, and I used to go over there to him, because Mum and the Canon Wilson's family had a lot of interest together. Mum made all Grace Wilson's clothes for her. Mum was a brilliant needlewoman. She went with her when she was presented at court up to London. She was a debutante, and they stayed at 45 Park Lane. Grace met Sir Chad and married, and she then became Lady Woodward. Mum did a lot with the Wilsons, because during the war, that was another instance, the rectory, the old rectory, the big one, they had a lot of evacuees came from London there. Well, Granny Wilson wasn't able to look after them or do anything, so Mum used to go and cook all their meals and things like that for them. Dad, as I said, grew beautiful vegetables. And oh, we had pigs and all sorts over there. Gosh, yes. He said they were only his pigs when they wanted feeding or mucking out, because you had to register everything with the Ministry of Food. We weren't hungry, though. We used to have a lot of rabbits and things like that. He'd always got his gun in, under his arm, so that he could shoot a rabbit. We ate more rabbit than anything else. We got all these other lovely meats and things, chickens and pigs and things like that, but you couldn't kill and eat your own stuff. You weren't allowed to, but then they didn't. It was all registered with the Ministry of Food, and it wasn't yours. It was only yours, as Dad said, when you wanted mucking out or feeding.
But you were saying that you didn't go short during the war.
Not really. We didn't have... Mum used to make butter, you see, because we had three cows. And she used to make bread. If she could get the flour, that was a bit of an obstacle. But no, we didn't, because Dad grew vegetables, you see. He grew such a lot of things.
And your mum kept house here and helped to...
Yes. Mm. We didn't have evacuees here because she was looking after those. I think there were seven that came, actually. Mm. There was one very disruptive one, and he didn't want to go back to London at the end of the war. My word, he did not. He was a naughty boy when he came, but he got into all sorts of mischief, but he got straightened out, you know.
What sort of things did he do?
And letting people's animals out and things like that, you see. And he tried to milk the cows in the field, but he wouldn't have a bucket to put the milk in. It would just go on the floor, you see.
But they all came from London, did they?
They came from London, yes. There were a lot of evacuees in the village. Mr. Tremaine had some down the road here. He had three boys. He was on his own, my mum used to say. I don't know how he's coping, because it was difficult for him, and he wasn't a young man, he was an elderly man. Then they had a lady over at the rectory whose husband was in the RAF. She wasn't allowed to talk about anything he did or where he was coming from or going to. So you didn't know he was coming, but he'd just arrive, and then he'd disappear almost by the same. She was nice. The lady was very nice indeed. She helped Mum in the end with Granny Wilson. But Granny and Bampu Wilson had three children. Reynold, who was in the Navy, Kit, who was in the Army, and Grace, who I said was Lady Woodward. They were good times, and they all had children. Kit was married to Yoli, and she came over there. Barbara Wilson was married to Reynold, and as I said, Grace was married to Sir Chad.
It sounds almost as if you felt they were part of your family.
Well, they were, Daphne, and when it was all, the war was over, Grace Wilson had three children, Virginia, Hermione and Rachel. And when the war was all over, Dad drove us, but we went up to Anglesey, Rosneiger, and they had a house up there, and we had... Mum said she would never forget me, because I ran in the sea and splashed and said, splashed in Ginny's water.
Oh.
Yes.
Was that the first time you'd ever been to the sea?
I think it was.
Mm. Tell me about your mum's other work.
Oh, at the police station, yes. You see, there weren't police women in those days. But there's a court there, as you've seen.
The old magistrate's court.
Yes, it was the 100 house for years, and then it moved down here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it being built. It's always been there as far as I can remember. But I know it's the 100 house, Petty Sessions it was called. There were cells, there were prison cells, and if there was a lady in, they had... I think they were called wardens or some name like that. Mum would go and down because the policemen couldn't be with the ladies on their own, you see, pretty much as it is today, but they have police women today. She used to go to all the courts, and then if anyone was kept in, of course she was up and down the road all the time.
And what did she do when she went down there?
Well, she could make sure that the lady got water to wash in and things like that. She was present when she was making a statement and things like that.
That's interesting.
Well, they only met once a month. The court used to convene once a month. There weren't a lot of ladies there, but she always went to the court. She used to go in the witness room and talk to the people in there. But it was so different, Daphne, to today.
In what way?
Well, there wasn't the trouble for beginning. Mm. But I don't know, you had more respect for the police, didn't you, in those days than they have today. There doesn't seem to be any respect. I can remember when my brother was coming home on leave one time. Dad was allowed, because petrol was rationed, you see, petrol to fetch him from Worcester Shrub Hill to Whitley. And on his way home from Shrub Hill in Worcester, John said to Dad, "Could we call and have a drink, Dad?" And Dad said, "Yes, why not?" So they called at the Red Lion at Holt. And Dad had half a pint of cider. And John had got beer, I think. A policeman went in and said, "Whose car is that outside?" So Dad said, "It's mine." He said, "I've been to pick up my son. All his equipment's in the car, if you want to have a look." And he said, "Oh, no. No, that isn't necessary. But leave that and get on now. You're not giving petrol for enjoyment. You're giving it for taking your son home, and off you go."
And your brother was John?
John, yeah. I had a husband, John, and a brother, John.
And is your brother still alive?
He is, yes. He's 91, I think, this year.
Mm. Does he live locally?
Kidderminster.
Oh, it's not so far. So you see him sometimes?
Sometimes, not often. But I do go to see him, yes. Mm. And his wife is still alive at the moment.
Which service was he in?
John was in the Royal Air Force. He was a bomber pilot. He flew Wellingtons.
Mm. So was he based somewhere around here?
No. Actually, I think they went on bomber command from Preston, somewhere up north. But they weren't there all the time. They were only there when they were going on to bomb. Because they had times when they were on bombing, and then they had rest times when they weren't, you see. And then they'd go back to Wales, Saundersfoot.
Is that where he lived or where he was stationed?
Yeah, he was stationed there. His wife was in the RAF as well. She used to drive the ambulances there. Dreadful things she had to do. Oh, God, yes. She used to have to go and pick up people who were shot down and things like that, you know, washed up on the shores. She'd put her age on 2 years to go into the forces because she came from a family of boys and they'd all been in the services, and she said her dad didn't know he'd got a daughter till she put a uniform on. She always said that. So she put her age on 2 years to go. So did John. John did. He went to Hartlebury Grammar School, and Brinton's lived over the road there. And Mr. Brinton had been a pilot in the First World War. But he was a marvellous engineer. He used to make all sorts of things over there. John thought it was marvellous, listening to his tales of flying.
So that's what made him want to go into the RAF.
That's exactly it. Mum never forgave him, I promise you. He came home and he said to the mum and dad, "I'm going to put my age on and go and apply." But at that time they had to do an exam, you see, to enter. And mum was against it, and dad said, "Let him go. It can do him good to be brought down a peg or two. He's not going to put his age on 2 years and then get in just like that." And he went and sat the exam. He went up to London to a Dastrell house and sat the exam. And he rang the police station. They fetched Mum down to the... We hadn't got a telephone then. He said to her, "Mum, I've passed. I don't know when I shall see you. I understand I'm going to America." Bang. Oh, she was upset. She was upset.
So he went to America?
That's where he did his training, yes. Alabama. Actually, I got a letter. Would you be interested?
So, Pam...
Yes.
When your brother was promoted by Brinton's Carpets and he became the Northern Sales Manager, you were helping him to look after his family and you went up there too?
Yes, I did.
And was it easy getting up there?
No. We got Crugy the dog, Mitzi and Pudgy, the two cats, and the baby in a Moses basket. When we stopped because John felt that the dog needed to use the toilet, and he opened the back, got the dog out on the lead, and one of the cats had got out of the box and got out of the car. He was anxious to hold on to Crugy. And have you ever run up and down the road, Pudgy, 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 trying to get the cat back? Well, he got the cat eventually, not straight away, which meant, of course, that furniture van was miles ahead of us then. And that wasn't the end of it. When we finally got up to Bramhall, we turned up Valley Road and they were putting the furniture into the wrong house.
Oh, goodness.
So John stopped them immediately and they said, well, we thought it was odd because he'd been very concerned. They'd had all the carpet fitted before we went, and we thought it'd go straight in. And he was very concerned then because the house they were putting it in hadn't got any carpet and it was the wrong house. And anyway, we started to get it more, moved back from the house up the road to the house down the road. And I can see him now, he lay on an ottoman and gave a push with his feet. It was on casters and it went down the road and he said, there, I'm still on a Spitfire. The people opposite turned out to be an RAF man, and he said, thank God we've got a humorist.
So you were looking after Catherine all that time?
Yes, yes, and the cats and the dog. I was scared stiff it was going to get out and go again. But I've fed it and got it in the kitchen and tried to settle it down because it was a bit upset. And so was Catherine. She'd had a day, I'll tell you. But we got there, we got over it. And
well, if she was only a little baby, because she was in a carry cot or a Moses basket, she must have had a sort of bit of a frightening day.
She had, Daphne. It hadn't been easy for anyone, to be honest with you.
How long were you at Bramhall?
About, I suppose, 4 years, 5 years. 5 years, because she started school.
Oh, yes, and you said that you found her somewhere where she could ride a pony.
That's right. I've got some pictures of the pony somewhere, but I don't know where.
You must have had a big influence on her life.
Well, I did when she was little, yes. But, of course, there was such a lot more of her life. When they moved down to Amersham, I didn't like it down there at all. I did not. Mm. And then they went to America, and I was definitely not going to America. No question about that.
No. Too much of a homebody.
Yes. Whitley's good enough for me.
So you came back home then?
Yes.
And what did you do then?
Oh, I worked in a carpet factory. Bondworth I went to, in Starport. It's no longer there. But I worked at Bondworth on the setting. I used to set the patterns. I was there till I had Christopher. I was there when I got married. Then I had Chris. He was 5, wasn't he? No, I didn't go back to work straight away. Because I had Becky then, you see. I didn't leave them. I hadn't got a mum on the doorstep to help me out, so I didn't go back to work. And then when Beck was 4, I think, she went to school with Chris. They went to Ravensley House. And I wanted to get a job because John was down the pit. And I thought there was no point in going from Kidderminster back to Starport when there were 13 carpet factories in Kidderminster, which there were at that time. There aren't now, but there were then. I went to Brockways, and Brockways is still going now, down by the viaduct. And it was Mr. Green. When I went in, I realised that they didn't weave spool Axminster, they did gripper Axminster, which was a totally different thing altogether. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you needed setters. And he said, we can find you a job. Don't go wait and talk to me. And I said, well, I don't think you'll want me because I can't do it. I don't know. You can learn. Are you a picker? I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, that's all right, we'll teach you. Do you like sewing? Yes. We can find you a job as a picker, he said.